everybody. Welcome to Private Midwives Podcast with me, Sharon Gaymon. I am a matron here at Private Midwives. I'm also a caseload midwife and carry a caseload of my own along with all the other stuff that I do. Today we are going to be talking about positive birth stories. I think it is very difficult trying to explain the whole process, but to people about the hormone response when we go into labor. Our bodies listen to the hormones that are being released. The doors are open, if you like, around your uterus to accept all the hormones of labor that when they're released from the body. And so many inductions fail early on. I'm not saying fail, but I mean, they don't work. They don't go smoothly, let's say, because, you know, we are asking the body to do something that possibly it wasn't ready to do. And so we have to have those avenues open, if you like. So the beginning of that to be able to do that, you have to have it up in your head. First and foremost, you have to be all right with it in your head. Because if you're all right with it up there, then you're going to be receptive to the hormones and you're going to allow it almost to happen. You know, Mother Nature's a very, very clever, clever thing. And we do close down and we do, but it's a protection thing. So, you know, I think if you can be open to it and actually accept it, because some women have to be induced for other reasons. It might be an obstetric reason, a medical reason. And it can be scary. And so all those stories that are out there, you know, your stories are fabulous because they're not only successful for induction, they're successful for epidurals, because like women have epidurals and they're told that, you know, it's a difficult, especially with the first baby, pushing sensation or being able to push. And not, if you haven't got that sensation, you don't know exactly where to push. And all of this, and it can lead on to, like you say, tears and things like that, because you had that in your mind already, you knew that, but it's one of the things that you're punching the air for that you didn't get. And I truly believe a lot of that is because you embraced it and you weren't scared about it. You knew this is your choice, this is what you decided to do, and you know, you went with it, which allowed your body and your hormonal response to also just go with it, which, so I think it's fabulous. And thank you so much for sharing that, because you're going to put hope with so many women out there who maybe will walk that same path as you did. So thank you for sharing. It's really fabulous to have your side of the story. Thank you. I want to move on now to Maria. Obviously, Maria's story is just straightforward, normal story of a woman who goes into labor naturally, goes on to birth her babies naturally in the hospital. So she's going to tell us her side of things, how it can happen just, you know, by waiting for nature to take its own course and waiting for spontaneity. So Maria, over to you.
Hi, Sharon. Thanks so much. Yeah, so my firstborn Paddy is now three. So it was 3 years ago when I gave birth to him, and I went into labor 10 days early. And like got incredible nesting, like DIY vibes before it happened, like I've never experienced before. And then it started getting contractions. So I think it was a Tuesday evening, I started to feel contractions and ticked along Tuesday night, just kind of tried to rest. And then all through Wednesday as well, kind of they stayed pretty steady, but didn't get much stronger until kind of later Wednesday night. Then they really started kicking off. So I was still at home, still trying to keep all the dark, the curtains down and keep everything dark and everything calm and keep well fed. And then I started I put on the TENS. Like Hayley was saying, I found that absolutely amazing. Loved the TENS machine. And then I think I was on that for a good few hours on the ball, and then got into the shower at home, and then the contractions started getting much closer together, much more intense. I remember like my husband was feeding me sandwiches in the shower. Like that's one of my memories that I have, and lots of fluids. And I was just in the shower, like loving the water, getting great relief actually from the water in the shower. And then I just knew that like the sensations had changed, and I had read Ina May's book on childbirth. So I kind of had a really good understanding, and I'm a nurse as well. And I think I could totally relate to what Kaylee was saying around like the hospital part and that. And as well, then like physiologically, I really understood what my body was doing, and like I just totally surrendered to it. And then I just knew then the sensations were changing, and I felt a lot of pressure and kind of involuntarily bearing down kind of sensations. So we went into the hospital, and like that, it was during COVID. So I was always terrified. The whole time during my pregnancy, I was so focused on the fact that, oh my God, I'm going to be on my own in the hospital giving birth. Like, I'm so afraid of this. And I laugh thinking about it now because I was so in the throngs and so in the zone with my earphones and trying to keep everything, sunglasses on, the works. And I literally was like, bye to my husband. I didn't care because I was just so in my own zone. And like,
yeah,
you know, he had to wait outside until I was assessed. And when I went up then to the labor assessment, actually it was the assessment unit, she took me straight around because she just knew by the noises I was making, like, you know, they were just animalistic at that point, that I was fairly far gone, and she said I was 7 centimeters, and I was just absolutely thrilled because my biggest fear again was that I'd go in and she'd say you're 1 centimeter, like go for a walk. And I obviously, you don't know what to expect, you know, it's the unknown. So I was like, maybe this is just the start of labor. Like, what do I know? I don't know how intense this is supposed to get. So then obviously I could ring Paul, and as well, I had sent him off, I think, for a sandwich or something. So I was like, no, you're going to actually have to come back now because I'm 7 centimeters. Like, and the nurse was like, what? Like, get him back here now. And I was like, oh, right. Okay, grand. And then I just labored in the room again. Like, it was challenging to try and keep, like you're saying, with the hormones, and that I was aware that like I could stall, or, you know, so I just tried to stay in my zone again with my earphones. And I had an app that kind of whenever I got a contraction, I press play on it. I think it was the Gentle Birth app, I'm not sure. And that just really helped me, the breathing and everything. And then like, I was like, okay, like I'd love an epidural now because it's getting really intense. But she was like, you're fully dilated. Like, you're going to have to just plow on here. But actually then that part of the birth, which is I think what a lot of women fear, and tearing, like Katie was saying, you're so afraid of tears, and that the sensations had changed. So it wasn't so painful, really. It was more, it was again, it just a different sensation. And I pushed, I don't know for how long, and Paddy was born. And yeah, it was just like, it went as well, I think, as a hospital birth could go for me, for what I wanted.
Yeah. Did you use water? Oh, no, you did you use water? No, you didn't.
Like a water birth.
Yeah,
they didn't have it during COVID in the hospital I was birthing in, so it wasn't, I don't think it was an option at the time. I think they had closed it at the time. And then on Sean, then it was different in the sense that my waters went at home, and that was the first sign that labor was going to kick off. And again, that was, I think that was 10 or 9 days early as well. So then I had known that I had strep in a urine sample from previous appointments. So I was actually midwife led as well, which was fabulous. But I knew that I had strep. So when my waters broke, all that was in my head was, oh, I was told I have to get to the hospital quickly, kind of thing. But I did stay at home for a little bit longer just to make sure that like things were kicking off and starting, and they did. So I started getting contractions, and then I don't know how many hours I was at home, but it definitely wasn't as long as on Paddy. Obviously things started ramping up very fast, and because my waters had broke, so we went into the hospital, and like that I went into the assessment unit, and she said, you're 2 centimeters, go on off for a walk. And I think it was like 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so tired. And I don't, like, that's not going to do my oxytocin any good, like walking around the car park. I was panicking. And I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? And then I was just trying to kind of gather myself and really just like get into a positive headspace. But I remember being exhausted. And she said, I'll be back in a minute. I'll just leave the trace on you for a second. So I was standing up with the trace on, and I just got an almighty contraction that like was very intense. And I just felt him drop. And then I was like, oh my God, like I'm going to give birth. And she was like, oh right, okay, yeah, actually, yeah, let's go straight around. So that was really quick. And at the time, probably, yeah, I was a little bit frightened, but equally delighted, because I was like, I didn't have the energy in me to do to go for a walk. I was like, I'm knackered, I'm not doing that. So we went around to the labor ward, and I got up on my all fours on the bed, and he came out extremely fast, and I didn't tear or anything like that. And then I was just on the bed like in disbelief that hadn't happened. But then I remember as well, when the head came out, when Sean's head came out, I turned around to Paul and I was like, this is brilliant, isn't it? And he was like, oh my God, like I was on the gas and air, and I was just flying, like delighted that we'd gotten that far. And he came out, and thankfully everything was perfect and healthy, and we had another boy. So I was delighted.
I think it's really interesting because obviously we tell, as midwives, we always say to a woman, the second time round is different. It is quicker. And obviously, until you're on that side of the fence, sometimes you don't believe us, you know. But what we try and explain is, the thing is, like I said about Mother Nature being really clever, your body has the blueprint now. It knows what it's doing. Whereas the first time around, it's learning how to cope with this. It's learning how to process those earlier, contractions and what's happening. But the second time round, lots of time. I mean, your story isn't unusual to go from 2 centimeters to push in within only a few minutes. You know, my own daughter. Yeah. One of my daughters does it that way, you know, very quickly. But in general, even if it's not that quick, it's nearly always much quicker than the first time around because your body knows what it's doing now. It's done it before, it recognizes it. And it's interesting what you were saying about contractions, actually, and changing from, you know, just having to open and dilate your cervix to all of a sudden having to push when you're saying about your first baby. And I think that's really important. I always try and tell women, you know, that it is different because actually before you get to 10 centimeters, all you can do through contraction is to try and breathe and get through it and get through one and then forget about it and try and relax or whatever. And then the next one's going to come. And that's all you can do is breathe through them, whichever way you're doing it, whether you've got a TENS or you've got Entonox or, you know, it's slightly different, obviously, if you've got an epidural on board. But the thing about contraction, once you've passed through transition, and transition just means when you're going from one stage into the next, really, is that you've got a job to do. You've got something to do at last, you know, something that you can that negates the pain, if you like, something to push against it. So, you know, to be able to push against that pain, is that's why it feels different. That's why it, you know, saying easier or whatever, sometimes, you know, I don't really know what the right word is for it, but it does make that journey slightly, it's different because you have something to do, something you can physically do that helps with that that pain of contraction. So that's why I'm always fascinated by the way the body works and how, you know, the baby's head moving down that birth canal, pushing on that bowel is what gives us that sensation to push, which then our body just overtakes and there you go, and gives us that pressure, which is just fabulous, isn't it? It's just, you know, and when it happens that quickly, it's wonderful. I think, Kaylee, when it came to pushing with you, were you told to push? Was it something that you were so right now it's time to push? Or
I could still feel a sensation even though I had the epidural, and the midwife was able to see obviously on the trace that I was kind of ready to push. So she really guided me through it. Like on my first birth, she was really amazing, even how to breathe, you know, what position to be in, even how to hold your face. Like I felt the reason I didn't tear was because of the guidance she gave me, which I was so grateful for. And she had trained in Ireland and worked in the UK. So, you know, she was just amazing. And then with Noah, because it just all happened so quickly, it was like I thought I was going to be there for the day relaxing. Yeah. Enjoying, you know, just chilling out, but all of a sudden it was like no, let's go. So yeah, with him I could feel the sensation as well, and I think because I only had the epidural for like maybe 20-30 minutes, so I wasn't in pain, but I could feel the sensation, I could feel him moving further down. And then with the contractions, the midwife guided me through. So, and then obviously when the head came out telling me not to push and when to wait. So yeah, I could definitely feel sensation but not pain. So again, yeah, their guidance was amazing.
Yeah, I think it's really important. When I've got a client who's chosen to have a hospital birth, or we end up in hospital and she has an epidural, I always sort of suggest actually turning the epidural off towards the end when we get to the second stage, just so that they can feel the sensation. I think for you, you know, you hadn't had it on board that long, so maybe it hadn't kicked in fully, like you say, and you could feel the sensation. I mean, Lucy, for you, I mean, obviously, what was the experience like with the pushing itself? Like, do you understand that release that I'm talking about? Do you sense that, you know, can you relate to that? And how was it different with the first one?
Yeah, it was. So with Aoife, it was a long, really long pushing stage. I think I went nearly quite to the max of what they would have let me before they'd have gone down other routes. I did have an episiotomy with Aoife because she got stuck. And I found that stage so hard with her because I didn't, obviously I'd never done it before. And I didn't know, I really struggled to get the breathing with that. I'd done so much hypnobirthing and I really found the breathing for the first stage so helpful to get you through contractions. But the breathing to push, I couldn't get my head around like how to make those, the push and the breathing work. And I didn't have a great deal of help with that. It was sort of, you know, I was sort of on my back in the bed and I just was sort of very tired at that point. I'd been up for like 3 days. So I was getting to the end of what I could do. And yeah, it was a long process and it was very difficult. So with ALF, it was much more like my body felt like it was, I had no choice. Like it was time and I couldn't stop it even if I'd wanted to. Whereas yeah. I really had to work at it for Aoife. With ALF, I'd got out of the water for a bit and sat on the toilet, which you said was a helpful position. And I really did find that helpful. Like I sat there for it's still funny. James like talks about how he got the pool to like the perfect temperature.
And I just wanted to stay on the toilet.
But then when that had got past and I obviously was ready to push, I got back in the water.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was such a different sensation because it was like I couldn't stop it even if I wanted to. And anytime I was getting wobbly, you and Alice were like really guiding me through contraction. And the, you know, when I got a bit wobbly with the pain, you were really, you know, calm and told, like guided me through it. And yeah, it was just, you know, I didn't tear with ALF and it was, he was born into the water and it was just, you know,
yeah,
it was the stage I was very frightened of again for the second time. And it just
that's what I was gonna say. I think sometimes women hold on a little bit second time around if they've had this experience where they hold on and you know that pushing was so traumatic the first time, they can hold on to that, whether it's conscious or subconsciously. You know, interesting what you say about the toilet. Actually, we as midwives we call it the dilatation station. Because sometimes, you know, if you're stuck in one position for a long time, or we think things are being held up for whatever reason, you know, getting somebody out and sitting on the loo is just fantastic for moving things along. But yeah, I think holding the not necessarily always trauma, but holding the fear from pushing the time before. I mean, I experienced it myself, actually, but mine was subconsciously. I mean, with my son, Jack, he came. You know, I always try and tell my clients, you know, that it's very unlikely to ever happen like you see it on the telly, you know, where someone's waters go and then straight away they're, and then 2 minutes later they're having a baby, you know, very unlikely to happen that way. Well, Jack liked to prove everybody wrong. And that's exactly how it happened with my son, Jack. He came at like 36 weeks. My waters went unexpectedly. I wasn't having any pain. I was tired. I went to lay down. I laid on my side. I felt that pop. You know, it's the only, I've got 5 children and Jack's the only one I actually felt the pop with. The waters went everywhere. And by the time I'd got from upstairs to downstairs to tell my husband we needed to go to hospital, I was in full-blown labour, like from nothing, water's gone to full-blown labour just by going downstairs. I remember looking at him and saying, we need to go to the hospital. And it was a break in between contractions. And he just looked at me and went, all right, okay. And looked back at the telly. And then I had a contraction and he was like, he said, oh, you mean now? And I said, yes, I mean now. And actually, it was only about a 20-minute car journey to the hospital. And I went into hospital because like it was 36 weeks. Water was clear and everything. But obviously, I was contracting like crazy. And I was pushing in the car. You know, and it was terrifying, absolutely terrifying. I'd had three very straightforward births leading up to Jack. But Jack, for some reason, I mean, he's still always in a rush now, bless him. But I was pushing in the car like crazy and I was just trying not to push and holding it in and all this sort of stuff. And I mean, I barely got through the door, you know, barely got through the door and thrown into a room. And before I was even fully on the bed, Jack was out. But for me, I held on to that. I obviously put it in a little box in my brain and actually had to put it to the back there. I hadn't quite locked the box though, but I didn't, because when that was it, I had 2 girls, 2 boys, and I wanted to be a midwife. And so I'd gone back to school and I'd got everything that I wanted to do to be able to go to uni to train to be a midwife. And all of a sudden, I found myself pregnant again with my little gift from God, my Lily, who like obviously was completely unexpected. I wasn't going to do that because I was going to go and do my training to be a midwife and everything else. But the midwife that had looked after me, which is one of the main reasons I wanted to work in this way, I've always been a private midwife, always worked in the independent sector because I've I love the continuity element, you know. So I'd had her for my three previous births. And when she came to book me and saw me, I just looked at her and I don't know what it was, but something in my head, I just knew. And I'd had four very straightforward, normal births. Jack was a bit quick and a bit early, but it was still very straightforward and very normal. But I just looked at her and said, yeah, I want a section, please. And she was like, what? And I said, I'm just not going to push this baby out. So can you, yeah, sort it out. And I want a section. And she was a lovely Irish midwife. And she was like, now don't be stupid, Sharon. And I just said, you can do this. She said, you're a professional at birthing babies. And I said, I'm telling you now. And I stuck to this all the way through. And I said, you know, I am not pushing this baby out. And I had no idea why at that time, no idea why. And obviously she stood her ground and there was no way I was going to have a section. And when I went into labor actually with Lily, that we talked about the power of the psyche earlier. And I was coming up to transition and I knew that, and I was terrified. And I'd said all along, I will not push this baby out. I will not push this baby out. And at that point, I still didn't know why. So at 8 centimeters or around about 8 centimeters, I knew it was transition. I just stopped my labor. 3 o'clock in the morning, it just stopped. Okay. It just went away. I remember these two third year students were in the room thinking, oh, you know, this is a woman who's had four babies before, number five, this is going to be easy. We're just running there, catch the baby. And they were all just, everybody was looking at me. And I said, can you all just go away now? And they were like, we can't just go away. I said, yeah, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. Sorry. And they had a consultant midwife come in and their doctors come in. And I just told them all to go away. Just leave me alone. I'm not doing this. And they just didn't know what to do, because, like, you know, they knew that I was coming up to, like, about should be having a baby, and it just, all the contractions went away. So they wanted to put oxytocin up, they wanted to put drips up, and I just told them all to go away, leave me alone. So they did, very reluctantly. And then they around about, I think it was about 8 o'clock, 8:30. It must have been 8:30 actually. Labor started again. Yeah, because Lily was born about 10 to 9. So about 8:30, it all started up again, obviously. I am living proof that you can have a baby without pushing, because I did not push. I climbed up the back of the bed, you know, I was screaming up and saying, I'm not pushing this baby. And she just slid out. And she was £9.01. She was my Lily. She was £9.01. I was in such a state. They'd actually given me pethidine. So I think that, you know, because poor Lily, she came out like this and she was like so sort of shocked or whatever. I think she had a little bit of the effects of it. But yeah, that's the only way they could calm me down. And it wasn't until about 2 years later, I was in my second year as a student midwife, I think, that I went to a lecture, or somebody came to talk to us about the power of the psyche and the power of the hormones and the brain and everything else on that. And it just hit me. It just hit me in that lecture, you know, that it was because I was pushing in the car with Jack. I was pushing in the car with Jack, and I was terrified of having him in the car well of the car, especially with my husband at the time saying to me, you know, you mess my car up, I'm going to kill you. I think the fear, the pushing in the car, is what made me realize the next time that I was not going to push. But I didn't recognize it until she was nearly 2 years old. That's when it came to me. So, yeah, you know, the power of our mind, we say it to women sometimes, you know, if their husband is going to be away and they're so terrified that they're going to go into labor, and I've got one next week, her husband's like got to go to Leeds and she'll be 39 weeks and she's terrified. And I said to her, you won't let it happen. You know, you won't let it happen. Just try not to worry about it. Try not to stress, because you just won't let it happen. So it is so powerful. I think the power of the psyche is just it when it comes to labor and birth. So it's fabulous that, you know, we can all sort of share our stories with women and know that, you know, if they can get their heads around it, because we have women who suffer with tocophobia, obviously, which is a fear of a birth. And if they can get themselves antenatally into a place where they can accept that this is going to happen to their body, then, you know, by using lots of the things you guys have talked about, you know, your breathing exercises, your mindfulness, your hypnobirthing, those sorts of things, or having somebody that you know and trust with you, that knows you, that can guide you through it, you know, making sure that your shoulders are sort of dropped, you know, because we all sometimes we get a bit of a pain and we go like this, but that's tightening everything up down there too. So having a nice relaxed shoulders, having a lovely relaxed jaw, you know, get somebody to play with your hair, all of those things that Ina May talks about, you know, let all those things help with dilatation, help with the relaxing, help the baby come down the birth canal. Obviously, you've all had fantastic experiences, and I'm not to take away from those. Please don't think that's what I'm doing. But I think obviously I am a private midwife and I do work for private midwives. And I think if anybody is interested or feels that they know somebody that would benefit from this sort of care, or, you know, wants to have a look at the website, I know it's not for everybody. And I know, unfortunately, it is a private service and it's something you have to pay for. But if you can't get it in your NHS or HSE trust, you know, and you feel it's something that you or a family member could really do with, please do pop along to the website, have a look at privatemidwives.com and have a look at all the resources and everything. The lovely Maria and Kaylee both use the website, actually. They haven't used Private Midwives, but they found benefit from the things that they've seen on our, you know, Instagram and things like that. So it's important to know that private midwives are out there. You can get all sorts of resources and help on our websites, on our social media. So we are private_midwives with Instagram, and it's just private midwives, I think, with TikTok and Facebook. So thank you, ladies, so much today for joining me and sharing your amazing stories. I know that people are going to love to listen to them. I've loved it. I could talk to you for hours, all of you. It's just amazing. Thank you so much for coming and talking to us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.